I said I did, Kim.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry. We'll go to you first, Kim. Anybody else?
Alex.
Alex, okay.
Well, you can let Maria speak. I guess mostly, I mean, unless Maria says something different, I want to, you know, like what Bill and Jim says. I mean, you know, KPFK is having its own, like, fantasy income issues. These are all very familiar to me. I'm very uncomfortable with this, like, oh, we have to start in September because we care so much about our listeners and not interfering with the election when you're running, like, 25 days of a fund drive in the election season. Just to balance this year's budget. And, you know, obviously KPFK, you know, doesn't help us at all. So there's, you know, I'm not on top of all the numbers, but I, you know, we have a problem here.
Okay, I'm just trying to let the members of the committee weigh in, by the way. Maria is on the stack. It's just that, you know, it's important for us as a committee to let people air where they're going and what they're thinking so everybody knows where everybody's at.
Yeah, and I just want to point out, I forgot to say this, I don't really get the thing of we're paying him to write a grant. Just so we understand that, too, and how much are we paying him to write a grant? He's not a professional grant writer. I don't know. I just don't know. You know, there just seems like the old Pacifica trough, like, you know, we'll pay anybody to do something that sounds good. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it's a fairly small line item in the scheme of things, but yeah. Okay. Alex was next on the stack.
Yes. In general, I think the projected revenues are not realistic. There may be some ground for being optimistic for a modest increase in listener support due to programming changes. I'll take Andrew's word for that. That sounds reasonable to me. But expecting anything from Goldbusters is pure fantasy. Certainly for the first year of operation, that's not going to happen. So you have to pare down those expectations of revenue there. And it does seem to me that there's an awful lot of top-heavy expenses for items like the IT infrastructure. I still have no idea why. Despite everything I've heard, I have no idea why it's so much more expensive than the other two large stations are paying for the same thing. It doesn't make sense to me, so I think that's an area that could be cut, and there needs to be some cuts in personnel. That'll be management's decision where to make cuts, but I think they're going to have to make some cuts.
Okay. Maria, you wanted to make a comment?
Yes, I do. First of all, I want to start with listener support. The current summer drive, I know it's not an ongoing track record, but one thing to reply to Bill Crozier's comment about 2010, the difference between 2010 and 2013, we lost the morning show. We lost a significant amount of revenue right there. And so now that we have revamped our morning drive time, we very strongly believe that we will be turning things around. You have to remember, we lost like $300,000, you know, with the morning show revenue. Regarding the Central Services, in this budget that I gave you guys with a surplus of $33,920 is calculated on line item 5,000, which is line item 8, and corporate match 5020 as dictated by National Office. Website income, to your own budget that you approved last year, you agreed that website income was a donation just like 5752 and 5001. We absolutely make sure that that is outside of fund drives. We do not skim off any money that's coming in from websites. That is strictly a medium of how that money comes in. And we, I thought I'd say this, we don't with is major or donors or car donations or anything like of that respect. The other thing is that we have given Pacifica a lot of money here over the last 11 months. We have overpaid somewhere about $150,000, part of it also to subsidize WBAI's payroll, and Pacifica has taken on that debt. And so if we want to skim $150,000, we could skim it right off of Central Services, because I have told both of the EDs that right now, as the way it stands, we wouldn't have to pay Central Services for at least 3 months. So there's $150,000 right there, and then we're at a balanced budget. So those are the other thing, too, regarding expenses. One of the line items that I did not touch, both Phil Acevedo and I have talked about this, is we have premiums expense quite high. It's $28,000 higher than what we currently are paying. I left it alone because, again, it's in the inner workings of the spreadsheet, of the template. And but I do believe that we could, at the very least, have $8,000 there. That is about it. But we have overpaid tremendously. We have been handed bills right now that we have to pay because Pacifica doesn't have the money, and that's fine. We are more than happy to help. But the point is that we are way on the opposite side of the scale here. So right there, 3 months of Central Services.
All right. Again, back to the members of the committee. I think almost everyone has weighed in. Is there anyone on the call who hasn't weighed in besides me? I think maybe our call has not.
Barbara.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's let those two members weigh in, then I will weigh in, and then we'll see where we're at. Our Paul?
Okay. Basically, I'm agreeing with what people are saying. Some of this is speculative, and I certainly appreciate that KPSA, you know, has done all sorts of things, but the real important thing is that none of the stations suddenly falls down a hole. And my concern here is that if any station has too much speculation in the budget and looks through somewhat too rosy a pair of glasses at revenue, that station could fall down through a hole. And things are so tight in Pacifica right now. Let me point out something else, which is that we have a station that needs to move. And I have never in my 30-plus years in Pacifica seen a station move without being helped in six-figure land from Pacifica itself. I don't see where that's coming from. And that concerns all of us. So I think we need to be very conservative, all of us, in these things, and I am concerned about a misstep, especially a cash flow misstep, which would happen like maybe January, February next year when we may be in a really big crunch. And so I am concerned about that. So I am agreeing that there needs to be some cuts. I think probably what we need to do is come up with a figure and ask the folks from KPFA to find where to make those cuts that we come up with to meet that figure, and then hope that works, because, you know, things are just so tight, and we have some things happening in Pacifica here that are going to be very expensive. And I don't see where the money for all of that's coming from. That's all I have to say.
Okay, Barbara, then I'll call on myself.
Well, of course, you might guess that I don't agree with all of this. The last time we discussed our budget, somebody did make one comment about, of course, we could accept the budget and then have a mid-year review and see whether things are working out the way you're projecting. I guess that's the way I would go. And I also want to stress this business of us being overpaid currently in central services. I know that doesn't help the overall picture, but really, you want us to cut something, that would be my first choice. And then, of course, we would resume paying at the normal rate. And also, well, anyway, I'll stop there. I think the mid-year review is the way to go.
Okay.
And I do believe that we ought to not be so critical about the possibilities of Gold Busters. I know that some people are saying they want them to work for the network, but really, if you look at KPFA as a pilot program to see how well they do with our kind of needs, I think it's a wonderful setup. You can all learn from this.
Kim to the stack.
Okay. Is it okay if...
That's fine.
Okay. Is it okay if I go, or should I let everybody... maybe I'll let everybody else go. That's okay. Kim?
You're up. Mine will be quick. I mean, I have no problem with letting Gold Busters, you know, show us what they can do, but I'm not banking on it, number one. Number two, this idea of, oh, we're going to have programs that are going to, like, beef up our listener support. You know, in my opinion, you did not lose revenue because you took off the morning show. You lost revenue because you had a bunch of your members screaming to the public, don't give money, okay? That was
not
the
true
problem. And
Barbara, don't interrupt.
And I also, from my experiences, by the time you're looking at 90 days of fund drive a year, people are just not listening. They forget. People who listen to the radio are creatures of habit. They like to have turn it on every day. They like to know what's there, and they like to have it there. If you're in a fund drive for a month, I mean, they've moved to some other station, and they don't know that you're not in fund drive for a couple of weeks until you go into fund drive again. I mean, that's what's happening at our station. And so this idea that you're going to put on new programming, but it's not even on because you're increasing your fund drive days, is just, you know, I don't see an increase in listener revenue from that. I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Bill was next.
Yeah, you know, what Barbara suggested about the mid-year review, I might be willing to consider that if we first make the cut. And then, after 6 months, if Gold Busters is doing much better than I and most of us expect, and the revenue is up, then perhaps we could add some more expenses back in. But I think it's really critical that we budget conservatively, as our Paul had indicated, based on what we are reasonably sure we can do in terms of revenue, looking at the historical figures for FY11 and FY12.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Then I will go ahead and go. A couple of things.
I'd like to say something to you.
Who is that, Alex?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to address this argument that KPFA paid out more in central services than they would do last year. I don't know if that's in fact true, but if it is, then that seems to me to be a cash flow issue. It's not really a budget issue as such.
Right.
We have to borrow money from different stations from time to time because we're chronically in a cash flow shortage. Assuming that that money will be credited, and however that's done. So it's really outside of the budget discussion as far as I can see.
Okay.
If somebody wants to comment on that, I'd be I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I probably will. Okay, I'm going to go to myself. Couple of things, and I'm speaking as the PNB member on the Finance Committee for KPFA right now. KPFA has a track record of overestimating listener revenue. That's why it got into the pickle that it got into a couple of years ago. We were working then on a total budget of some $4 million, and we were anticipating listener revenue as being close to $3 million. When in fact the number was about 2.5, and we did that 2 years in a row. In fiscal year 2009, we estimated listener revenue. We overestimated it by close to $600,000, and in 2010, after having a disaster in 2009, we did it again, leading to the necessity for immediate budget cuts in the fall of 2010, because we had lost $1.2 million in 2 years, our entire, the entire cash reserve that we had. And we have not been able to build any of that money back since, although we have come a lot closer to breaking even and trying to avoid some of the six-figure deficits that we were running. So it's important not to be fluffy. I am concerned about the starting the fund drives in September. I think that's an extremely bad trend for a number of reasons. That was some of the maneuvering that was done in 2009 and 2010 to sort of make the numbers hold up. And while that may not be the motivation for it at this point in time, it does seem to me that it creates a lot of accounting confusion and a lot of inability to smudge numbers from year to year that is really destructive in terms of clarity about year-to-year comparisons, which is very, very important to be able to do. You have to look at how you're doing in comparison to how you've done the past couple of years, and you can't do that when $200,000 is floating in, floating out some years and other years. So I really sort of want that not to happen. I'm also noting that 30,000 of the listener revenue number is in fact caused by that, because we're taking $175,000 out and we're putting $210,000 in, and that's not acceptable. So that $30,000 from listener revenue, which is in fact the entire surplus, doesn't even really exist. So at this point we are looking at a zero budget, not a surplus budget. We're borrowing that $30,000 from next year in very specific terms with the budget that's been presented to us. On the central services scenario, we're going to have to look at account 5001 and sort of how that's happening. It's confusing, but I would add that we did receive central services reconciliations on the PNB level, although the treasurer might or might not have received them. And they did not, in fact, show that KPFA had overpaid. What they showed factually was that KPFA was continuing to pay back the $250,000 in back central services from 2010 and had finally completed that sometime this year, which is great news, and that there were significant legal billbacks, which, of course, there were. And when employees file suit, then those are costs. And they're not blamable and they're not shiftable in quite the way that's being implied. They are simply facts and they have to be paid, and litigation costs money. In terms of sort of where we go, I mean, it's worrisome to approve a budget with no capital expense allocation whatsoever, and it's worrisome to approve a budget that doesn't make any attempt to rebuild any cash surplus whatsoever, and in fact is basically a breaking even budget, assuming that a couple of prayers happen. I don't think that's responsible. I can accept that in a scenario like WBAI that has $750,000 in fixed expenses that are not immediately solvable. I find it hard for a station that doesn't have that burden, and I find this with both California stations, to be putting itself in that position voluntarily. It seems to me not to be wise with the economy that we're facing. And if KPFA, you know, still had $1 million in the bank or even $500,000 in the bank, then we could talk. But without it, it's hard for me to get my head around. What else? There was one more thing. On Goalbusters, I think that, you know, an investment in development is certainly overdue. By choosing to make it, I think we have to accept that we have $35,000 in fixed expenses, and we don't know if we're going to get $10 back from that, $35,000 back from that, or $100,000 back from that. We really have no idea. We're $200,000 back from that, and we don't have a track record with this company, so I don't really see how we can assume anything. Obviously, we're going in with good intentions, and we wouldn't be budgeting $35,000 if we weren't expecting good results, but as said, it's somewhat speculative, and we cannot average in random bequests from the Sanginese family as if that indicates historically that we will get more than we've gotten, because of course it doesn't. I mean, as Maria reported, we're spending a good chunk of that money, unfortunately, on legal stuff. So it doesn't allow us to invest in much of anything or put it away for a rainy day or any of the other things that you would hope. And again, you know, both of our major bequests have been one family that owns a bunch of property in the Upper Haight that, you know, has this ridiculous San Francisco value, and we're just lucky. But that's a one-timer or two-timer. It's not going to repeat forever. These houses are sold. We got a chunk of money because the value probably went up by 20 times between the time the family bought it and the time that they sold it some years later, which is very fortunate. But it's not a fixed thing. So it seems to me that, you know, Ken and Bill and Jim are, you know, coming up with some loose numbers that I think are in the middle between what you would do if you were trying to do absolutely nothing but what was guaranteed, what you would do if you were basically fluffing things up as much as possible, and you try to find the base there in the middle, to be fair. And I think that they pretty much are hitting about what that point would be, or in the vicinity of it. I might go a little further if I were sitting there with a red pencil, but it sounds workable. It will, however, create a scenario, it seems to me, where there will have to be $100,000, $250,000 in expense cuts. What we have as a procedure is we have to send a budget to the Pacifica National Board at some point for approval, and that budget does need to identify revenue and expenses in fairly specific terms. So I don't know what the protocol is for a miscellaneous cut, and I think that we'll have to kind of talk about that as a committee, whether we want to go that far tonight and go back for a third look at this budget, or whether we want to present a narrative with a sort of an open mandate regarding what total expenses will be, or sort of what the procedural scenario is for this, because I do think we want to provide as comprehensive and complete a document to the PNB as we can. But I also hear people about wanting to extend some discretion about the how, and what we're concerned with here is whether the numbers balance or not. So that's something that we'll have to procedurally figure out. But it sounds like from a straw poll that the majority of us are kind of in the same place, which is nice, after all this talk. And I guess at this point we'll kind of get into a next steps conversation. And next steps would include where we should go, what the right procedures are for this situation that we're in, and I guess motions or stabs at motions would be kind of the next step. And with that, I'll shut up. And I'm sorry, that was kind of long. Okay, I heard Bill. Anybody else on the stack? Okay, Bill.
Well, I have a question, not a motion. I guess it's for Andrew, since he's still on the call. If we... need to cut $150,000, as Tim suggested, and several of us agreed on. Could you let us know tonight what line item or line items you prefer to cut? Or I know you wouldn't prefer to cut anything, of course. We'd never like to make cuts, but could you tell us what you would recommend, or would you like us to make that decision?
Oh, I mean, I would like some... No, I can't give an answer off the top of my head. That's essentially three FTEs, full-time positions, if it's going to be... That's what it is. And that decision's not something I would just make on the spur of the moment.
Okay, just to clarify...
I'm not saying which people to cut. I'm just saying if it's personnel or some percentage from other things, you know, whether it's...
May I, business manager, also add to that?
No, Maria, hold off a second because the question is being addressed to the GM. And what I would say is I think that Bill is not dictating, or at this point not dictating, that things necessarily come from a certain category. I believe that, you know, that's what the general manager has kind of offered up. Bill, do you want to follow up here?
I don't want to be characterized as saying that I offered that up. That was the one of the areas that we could look at, but frankly, not going back to review $150,000, $1,000 is a lot of money to take out of our budget. It gets back to the original $1 million request from Pacifica. We're back at that, really, in terms of not offering to cut staff. I don't want to cut staff. I don't know where else to cut.
Okay, so off the top of your head, you don't see that there's anything else in that budget, at least at this point, that you would cut?
I need to get back to you on that because, no, I don't right now, sitting here right now, but I'd like some input from Maria as well. She has something she wants to say, I believe.
Okay, Tim. Bill, are you done, or do you have a follow-up? Bill?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was muted. I wasn't trying to say who to cut, but I was just saying, you know, would you want to make it out of personnel or out some other line item or combination? And, you know, if it all came from personnel, it's about 8% of what you have there. So, I mean, I don't see it as a tremendous cut in personnel, but we do need to decide sometime pretty soon, you know, which line items would be affected. And I'll give you an opportunity to have as much input into that as you can, of course.
I understand that, but I would need at least minimum 24 hours to speak to my staff and consider that.
Thank you.
Okay, I think Kim was next on the stack.
Ken wants to go on the stack, too.
Okay, Kim?
I have a sort of a small question, and maybe Maria or Andrew can answer. Do you have janitorial service? Is it daily or a couple of times a week?
It's 5 days a week.
Uh-huh.
And we lowered that from the previous people and lowered the price and increased the services.
Why did you increase the services?
We lowered the price. Because I got tired of washing people's dishes, to be quite honest.
Maybe, Andrew, that's something that you could look at. This is the kind of thing that we're saying. If it comes down to it, maybe that's a place.
We also have a few other areas that I can write off the top, cut about $40,000 in our systems. And our
what?
Our 403B that I overestimated.
You didn't underestimate that back down after we talked about it a week ago?
No, I did. I did, but I left it. And it currently is 15, so my point is, if I left it as status quo, I have another 10 right there.
Okay.
And then once again, we have overpaid. It has been acknowledged by the CFO at a meeting that Andrew and I had with our CFO that we have overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that you have a credit against future payments.
Exactly.
And that money will come back. Okay, well, that doesn't change the bottom line.
It does, actually, because we would not pay the first...
Hello?
Yes.
We're not hearing you, Maria.
I said it does change the bottom line because it would affect the central services that goes to national office for at least the first 3 months. Which would
yes, but that's money that wasn't in your budget last year, so it's a cash flow. Again, it's a cash flow scenario. It's not a budgetary scenario.
Right.
Okay, Kim?
Golden oranges, whatever.
Well, there's a difference between a budget and a cash flow.
I'm well aware of it, too. And speaking of which, depreciation does not belong in an operating budget.
Please, let's not go there.
Now, it's $114,000.
Maria, we're going to ask you to excuse yourself from the call if you can't stop interrupting people. Kim, you're up.
No, I was done. I asked about the janitorial.
Okay. Ken, I think you're next. Ken, you're next.
Okay, yeah, I just, nothing specific. I just wanted to change the tone here, which seems to be like, there seems to be some emotional reactions. I thought the definition of a budget is a balanced budget. Anticipated income covers anticipated expenses and the income. It should be the income equals expenses plus a set aside for reserves, which we don't have yet. But it's not like good or bad. It's just an adjustment that has to be made. Because we don't have a credit card to put our debt on. So we have to operate where expenses are less than income. If income exceeds what is realistic to anticipate, you can adjust it. You can give bonuses. You can send it back out to the listeners. You can do anything with it. But we can't plan to spend more than we really think we can reliably depend upon. I that's all. I'm just, it's not a win-lose thing. It's a fact of life.
Yeah,
sorry,
or
I'm getting a little bit.
Kim, you're done with
topic.
The stack.
That's all. Right. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, Alex was next on the stack.
I would just like to. I would like to urge management to think BFA to seriously consider a significant cut in the IT budget. In fact, I think the whole IT infrastructure, the way it's set up there, should be completely rethought. It's a dinosaur, in my opinion. It's an old model. It doesn't work, especially in our circumstance. We can do this much cheaper, and we can have a much better website as well. And we can have a website that generates significant income. So if you're looking for cost savings, that's one area I would look at first, and you could save some possibly some FTEs by doing that.
Okay. So we've kind of gone round the horn. I'm hearing from at least the people that are talking. Like I said, I sort of got a procedural question here about, I don't think we can pass this on to the PND with sort of some unspecified. I mean, basically, if we're going to trim the revenue a bit, and it sounds like we are, and we can talk about the specifics of that, then we're going to end up with a deficit budget unless there are corresponding adjustments made on the expenses side of the ledger. And I don't think we're in a position as Finance Committee to pass it on to the PNB saying, well, there's a deficit of this amount, so we've asked the management at KPFA to cut something or another. At least I, in my time on the NSC, I've never passed on a budget with that prerogative. So I don't think that within the constraints of the committee and what our work is that we can do that. So we will need to place those reductions within budgetary line items at some point before we pass this budget up. If someone thinks I'm wrong, there's some process for this, let me know, but I don't think so. So I guess what makes
expense as a process is to get the revenue numbers to where we believe that they need to be and what we will recommend to the PNB. And then I guess we will have to get back a proposal from KPFA management that restores balance to the budget, although I had really hoped that we would get some closure on this tonight. The other option is that as an NSC, we can do a line item on the expenses to the extent of the information that we've gotten tonight in our previous looks at KPFA's budget and make recommendations and then kick this up to the PNB for the full process. That would somewhat remove the discretionary ability from KPFA management about where things go, although, of course, we can talk about it some tonight. That's what we've normally done. So I guess I'm open for suggestions about which way we want to go. I do think that a third meeting on the KPFA budget is a lot. But that's probably what would be required because it doesn't sound like there's a management proposal to cut anything on the table or that any thoughts had come in with regard to how to do that or that anyone is prepared to embrace that tonight. So maybe we'll straw poll about what folks want to do with where we are. We are going to settle the revenue number that we're comfortable recommending tonight. Whether we can settle the expense level that we're comfortable recommending, I don't know the answer to.
Okay.
I do think that we should understand that the more time that goes by, the more, the more heated things are going to get. And that's just the way life is. Okay, so I heard Kim and then I heard Bill.
I guess before we pick a straw poll, just repeat the choices. And I just think management needs to look at your own realities a little, like, closer, that, you know, we shouldn't have to tell you this. You know, it's kind of like, these numbers are not going up. You're increasing fund drive days. You're cheating on this year by adding fund drive days. This is not like, wow, we're doing great, so we're going to get more income. You know, so I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself, but it's just kind of, why are we doing this? Anyways, just give us the choices again before we take a straw poll. Because I'm confused of what, you know, what we're voting on again.
Okay,
I do want management to come back with some kind of a plan for us. You know, I do want them to say, look, you know, I can see your point of view. We're cheating on this year. We don't want to do a month of fund drive before this very important election season. And we're prepared to make these, you know, suggested cuts for you. Please do that for us.
Well, like I said, there are time issues here, and there's other issues in play too. So I don't know what's realistic, which is why I'm, you know, putting out what some choices here might be.
Well, let's ask Andrew. What does he feel like doing besides killing us?
Kim, please let Casey.
Okay, I have Bill on the staff. Let's go to Bill. Then let's go to Andrew. Bill.
Okay, well, I have a specific two reductions, because it's the two major revenue items that I'm most worried about. I suggest we cut listener support by $100,000. That's the general ledger item, $5,000. That would still make it more than what's projected for this fiscal year, but cut that by $100,000 and also cut major donations, $5,752 by $100,000. And that would still make it significantly more than the last several years. I think $40,000 is more reasonable. The big jump last year, or this year rather, was that single $100,000 donation that I don't think we can count on again. But to make it simple, let's cut it by $100,000.
Okay, and I'm just going to make a note. It's actually a $75,000 cut in listener support because
or less than that, about $70,000, because $28,000 is just from the September swappy thing. That's actually 2014 revenue.
Okay.
So it's about a $70,000 cut to listener support. Okay. So that's a solid line item suggestion on the revenue side. The question would be whether we address the expenses side. And I know it's late. It's just that, you know, we have to start kicking budgets over. We can't hold everything here forever. Andrew, Kim wanted to know where you were at on this in response to what she said. So,
well, I think I don't want to go back over the Gold Busters thing. I do want to reiterate, though, that it was not the Pacifica National Board that went out looking for Gold Busters. It was after Cape Bay realized that we were not going to get a development director. We made another decision. We wanted to employ this organization and told to hold off on it now because Pacifica jumped on board and I don't want to use the word, I don't mean to use this word, kind of obstructing our progress here. In that we've been told not to go ahead right now. We're waiting to see what Pacifica does, which kind of, I guess, I don't want to put all our eggs in one basket here, but Gold Busters did seem to be a positive way to move forward. As we said earlier, we do have a lot of donor names we just haven't harvested. They're waiting to be harvested. We haven't had the personnel to do it. We thought we could do that with them. We were hopeful, but I know that you don't buy that. You think that's speculation? It is speculation. But an entire budget is speculation. May be able to do a few cuts in the IT budget, I'm not sure. We have, by the way, when McKay and John L. Mallor were here, a CMV meeting, I did convene a meeting with Roger to talk about this issue, so we have been exploring it, but obviously we haven't done enough. We should do more in that regard. I don't want to, it's always hard to cut staff, it's the hardest thing to do, but that's a substantial amount of money you're asking us to cut. Of course, I can't answer that now. I have to go to my union, the CWA, that will be a process. And I said 24 hours, I'm extremely optimistic it's going to take me longer to find a way to cut that after a whole negotiation with our union and all the rest of it.
So to ask a clarifying question, just for my own information, are you saying that the Gold Busters allocation that's in the budget as an expense has basically been put on hold, that it's not necessarily going forward?
Well, we think, from our point of view, it is going forward, but currently it's on hold.
Do you have any idea when that hold would be unholded?
By the interim ED that hold off for a week.
A week. Okay. Well, a week doesn't. Okay. So a week doesn't.
Point of information. I have a point of information for Andrew.
Okay, Ken. Go ahead.
Are you saying you think that Gold Busters is going to solicit major donations? I don't think so. I think they're going to analyze it and tell you to do the work.
Yes, they are. So, that's going to happen.
Yes, they are. What?
They're going to
talk to major donors? I don't think so.
That is what they're proposing.
They're going to go through our documentation. They're going to look at what we have on the books. We will have to be doing the ask.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So if you don't have the staff now to do it, all they're going to do is say, oh, here's a guy with money, or this is how you find people in your list. That's not very sophisticated. You're going to have to do the appeal and the pitching and the seven steps of fundraising, which you're going to have to get trained up on. Either whether you do it through the internet or whatever, or they're going to give you classes. But it's going to be your staff that's going to be doing the development work. They're just going to be acting as consultants to advise you as a proper way to do it. They're not going to do work. They're going to do consulting. So you're going to have to come up with the resources to solicit the funds.
That sounds fairly consistent with the presentation they gave at the PNB. Yeah, they were going to look at the existing development capacity and so on, blah, blah, blah.
We have someone here. Blasiaga was the development director for Pacifica. He has a lot of experience, and we were working with him, and we have another staffer here, Jan Etri, going to work with these two people as point person to do the ask. But, yeah, you're right to that extent, Ken, but there's a lot of preliminary work that would need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
To get in a position to do that. Yeah, I understand.
Right. Be paying.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the, there were other items too on the
budget. Yeah, I mean, you know, but it's worth noting that Mr. Estigate has a full-time job as a subscriptions director. Janie Tree is part-time and she runs a crafts fair. So, you know, there's limited capacity there, although I'm sure they can contribute.
So,
you know, they already have jobs.
Janie Tree is 50% and 60%.
That's what I said, half-time.
Bill is 60.
So we're talking again about, you know, increasing staff to actually do this. You know, that $35,000 line item is not going to bring in any money. So, again, this is like these numbers aren't adding up. This is not, Gold Busters is not going to bring us the miracle, you know, big donor money that you're counting on. More staff time is.
Okay, well, I'm going to start pushing us towards line items because I think that's where we're gonna have to go. Bill has brought up some potential revenue line item adjustments. Bill, do you want to put that forward as a motion so we can discuss, and that would be on the revenue line, and the way that we normally do it, which I think makes sense, and which I'm going to advocate for, is that we get the revenue to what feels like it's achievable and fairly solid, and then we look at expenses for, you know, what we would recommend in order to, you know, to spend that money in the strongest way possible to help the station, but basically we do the revenue first. So I think
it's
comfortable that you kind of might want to put that on the floor as a motion. We can discuss it, and I think we're going to go to 9 o'clock tonight, guys, and I'm sorry. And if we're comfortable recommending that revenue level, that's what we'll do. And then we can either look at some broad stroke recommendations on the expenses, or we can make a decision that we do not want to pass this budget up to the PNB. We want to schedule another meeting to entertain some more expense options. And maybe we'll see how far we get and how much time there is before we make that decision.
I have a point of information.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Are we addressing the extra fund drive days in 212?
At this point in time, what I got from the interim executive director is that she is addressing the September-October timing of things, but not the total number of fund drive days.
No, but that, yeah, okay.
And with I guess it's working out, so let's see, it's $28,000, so if we take 100, and we're making about a $70,000 listener support adjustment, which is potentially 2 to 3 fundraising days coming off is one way that could manifest. It could also manifest as the daily average being somewhat lower. I don't know which way it will manifest, but we are making a trim there, although it's not huge. The trim is mostly, I said, from the September-October discrepancy, because there was $28,000 in there that was just pulled out of 2014, and we're going to change that. It looks to me like a 2 to 3 day fundraising cut is sort of what's being proposed, and then we're going to the major donor line, and we're taking a $100,000 reduction is what Bill has put out. The timing of the fund drive is going to have to be, I think, administered by management. I don't see that the NFC could recommend that 2013 fund drive stay in 2013, but that's a management implementation. That's going to be worked out between the IED and the GM. It seems to me, unless the NFC develops policy, and we're not going to do that at this point in time. And it's not binding unless it goes to the PNB anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Bill, you want to formalize what you're putting out as a motion so we can discuss it? And
okay,
this is
yeah,
for the revenue side of the ledger.
A move that we reduce the expected listener support line item, general ledger item 5,000, by it's $100,000 minus the $28,000 that you were talking about shifting from the end of the fiscal year, or from FY 2014 into the end of FY 13. And also cut General Ledger item 5752, major donor, by $100,000.
Okay. Paul, have you got that as a motion?
Let me read you what I have. That we reduce the expected Lister support line item, General Ledger 5000, by $100,000 minus, I didn't catch that number.
Okay. Listener support category, the number is 2.646 million. Bill is suggesting cutting 100,000 to 2.546 million.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought he said, all right, I thought he said 100,000 minus something else. Okay, so it would just be 100,000. All right, that we reduce the expected listener support line item, General Ledger 5000, by $100,000, and also cut General Ledger 5752, major donor, by $100,000. Is that it?
Yes, and that takes that down to 105,200. That's it. Okay, so that's on the floor for discussion. We will have discussion, and then we will go to a vote that brings the total revenue number to $3.388 million, and it brings the current sitting deficit to $167,000. If we were to approve that. And we can take amendments, and we can take discussion. And let's try to keep this for that 10 minutes.
What did you say the total revenue would come to then? I didn't get that.
I missed a couple of decimal points, but approximately $3.388 million. So it would be close to $3.4 million.
Okay.
And the deficit would go from a $33,000 surplus, which wasn't really there, to $167,000 negative. So that would be the number we would have to look at on the expense side to get back to parity. Okay, so the floor is open for discussion or amendments. If there aren't any, then we will go to a vote.
Jim on the stack. Over
for the stack.
Okay, Jim, you're up.
I think the commission should be given a chance to reduce expense so that the budget itself would end up with a $20,000 surplus. And if they could get that to us by the 10th, if they didn't get it to us, we could probably knock out a reduction of expenses, probably 20, 25 minutes to do that.
That's certainly a possibility. Thanks for the suggestion. Okay, I think Barbara was next, and I'm going to be on the stack at some point.
Well, I just want to note that if you're cutting $100,000 of listener support, then that's going to be $19,500 less in central services.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Point of information, we don't believe that money would be there anyway.
Right. That's why we're cutting it. Okay. Are there any other I'm trying to look at what. Okay, I actually have a question, which is the CPB reduction that's being projected. Why is it being projected as dropping so much? Because we're projecting $182,000 on the CSG for this year. Maybe that's an over-projection, I don't know, and the actual 10 is projected 2 months. And we seem to be only projecting $147,000 in 2013. Is there some reason we're expecting a $35,000 CPB cut? There's
As business manager, I know this answer.
Okay, you can answer it, please.
First of all, the analyst for Pacific told us that that he expects that each payment from CPB would be $105,000. Then of that, FSRN, and then the deduction of $8,000 total for the year for the penalty. And
okay, I hear the $8,000 a year penalty. What was the first part of that?
EFRIN, CPB, excuse me. I asked him what the number was. He figured that $105,000 per payment, so $210,000 total CPB revenue is a reasonable number. He has no way of knowing, though. I mean, for sure.
Okay, well, I'm guessing that maybe then the number in the projected 12 months is just wrong, because it is considerably higher than KPFA got before. So maybe that's what the answer to that is, and the 147 and 54 is more like what we can rationally expect.
It's all detailed out on the assumptions page of the template.
Okay, let's look at it, because I think this number is actually important before we settle on the revenue. The assumptions page doesn't have anything about CPB that I see. So what?
Yes, it does.
Is there a page about a CPB grant? Okay. It is projected that you will receive $105,000 October to March, $105,000 for April. Total of FY13 is $54,600. Okay. Net CPB grant, $155,000. CPB penalty, $8,147,400. Okay. So that's the number. Okay. So, yeah, the projected number is too high. Okay. So that's why that compares the way it does. Thank you. So I can't put money back in that way. Okay. Is there any more discussion on Bill's motion? Well, I have some, but I don't know if anybody else does. It sounds like nobody else does. I'm not going to put this forward as an amendment. I'm just going to kind of throw it in there, at least not yet. It does seem to me that if we are, in fact, going to invest $37,000 in Bowlbusters, that we have to reasonably believe that we're doing that for some reason. Otherwise, I'd be inclined to knock it out as an expense, honestly. So to me, I'm not super duper comfortable, even though I understand that this is speculative, knocking a whole $100,000 out of donations. I feel like if we really think that, then we should just cut the Goldbusters expense anyway, because if we really think it's going to come to nothing, then it's a waste of money. And consultants often are. I don't have any reason to think so one way or the other, but I do think that I don't know. I'm lukewarm about cutting quite that much out of major donors, although I understand that it's speculative, and it makes me feel like if we really believe that, then maybe the $37,000 is not the best use of money. Because if we really expect it to only pay for itself, then I don't know exactly what we're investing in, besides someone telling us that we should be doing what we should be doing.
This is Kim.
This is Bill.
So I don't know, but I'm leaning towards an amendment there, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong. But that's my only hesitation with Bill's motion. Kim, and then Bill?
This idea of actually having to have staff, you know, to do this is something that has not really been worked out well yet for this plan by management. And I think that perhaps this is something that needs to be worked out with the IED, relative to this budget and whatever plans there are for other stations perhaps. I just think that this may be more of a national issue before we can make an opinion. But I don't know if there's popularity for that. But definitely, if this is to work, first of all, nothing's going to happen in the first 6 months. Maybe in the last 3 months. But
yeah.
We have to have a person there to actually do this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bill?